Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's good, Buzz family? Welcome to the Marriage Bootcamp Hip Hop Edition After Show. Of course, because of the COVID-19, we are doing this thing remote, but it's going to be just as fun as it's ever been. We got a lot to talk about in just a little bit of time. Today, we're covering Season 16, Episode 7. It's called The Naked Truth, and it's going to be crazy. We're talking about Jocelyn's custody war. We're going to be talking about sex, a lot of it. We're also going to bring out some puppets and have some fun with those. Also, we have our special segment, Counselor's Corner, and we have news and gossip by the lovely Shayna, who's online as well. And then we're going to go into our predictions. But before all of that, allow us to introduce ourselves. I'll start with myself. My name is Byron K. And Shayna.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Shay.
Hey, everybody. It's Raven French.
Yes, like I said, we're going to talk about a whole lot of different things. But before we get into the actual episode, let us just give our overall thoughts. And Raven, since I'm looking at you, what are your overall thoughts on this episode?
Shani, we learned she's a super freak.
Right.
I love it. It was a really good show. I thought the puppet thing, that made me a little awkward. I actually had to keep pausing it. I felt like the kids, like, even though I'm closer to their age group, I felt like, I don't want to hear this. So,
What made you pause it? Did you pause it ahead, or did you pause it to look at the puppets?
I paused it to give myself time for what I was going to hear.
To take a break.
It was weird.
Okay. What are your overall thoughts, Shayna?
It was a crazy episode. Obviously more entertaining, I guess, than some of the other ones, just because it was so awkward and they had to talk about sex a lot. But my thoughts on Michele and Stu are just still declining. Like, they just don't do it for me.
No, they have 1,000% taken a dive, and I don't know if there's any coming back. But speaking of taking a dive, one thing that was real crazy in this episode is actually something that happened outside of the household. So Jocelyn is having some baby daddy drama, of course, with Stevie J, with their child. And apparently she's temporarily losing custody of that child, which has, of course, affected her at the house. And she's kind of shooketh right now. But courtesy of Dr. Ish in the boot camp, they didn't have to necessarily participate in the first activity, which I thought was cool because you can tell that it's a very progressive show where they value the cast mental health above ratings and stuff, which is dope. So they let them sit that challenge out.
Yeah.
So I want to actually toss this to y'all because I don't know if you guys have any experience with like any type of parental custody war, if you've ever been in it or if you ever been on the receiving end of it or anything, but like, what are your overall thoughts with this whole situation, Shayna?
I thought it was really crazy. I was kind of with Ajua when she was just like, this is nuts. Like, somebody needs to talk to Stevie J, because like, it's one thing to be like not cool with your kid's mom or dad, but like, yeah, it's another thing when you're kind of taking advantage of a situation and trying to get the upper hand. And that's kind of what it seems like Stevie was doing, which is like not cool at all. Because everybody might have their thoughts on Jocelyn, but it seems as though she is a good mom. It looks like she has a stable home with Ballistic. So I don't really know what the situation was for him to get temporary custody. But later on in Gossip and News, I have some more details for you guys.
Oh, can't wait. Raven, how do you feel about this?
I know. I was literally thinking about you, Shayna, because I was trying to Google, does she still not have custody or not? But because of the show, all they kept talking about was what happened on the show. And I couldn't find if she has custody now or not. I know it was based on what I did find, I guess, is some technicality that she missed an appointment or a drop off or something like that. And I had a friend who went through that custody, and she actually did lose custody of her daughter. One little small technicality or anything like that. And you could, in California, I'm from Chicago, Los Angeles, values money more than it values like Chicago. You could be a, I'm just going to say it, you could be a cracked out mom. You're going to get your child because they value that the kid should be with the mom, mm-hmm. no matter what. Like, you have to be on in a really bad way to lose custody as a woman. Here it's different. You have more money or status or something like that, you could lose your child. I actually cried. That made me a little sad. I have two daughters. So wow. That made me sad for her because I can't
for sure
imagine at all.
I would probably relate this to us as well, which is kind of dope. And this is an even crazier situation because, like, why now? Why during this specific 10-day period between Jocelyn mm-hmm. and Ballistic? Because they're getting hit so hard while they're there. And you see how they're working through it. Like, Ballistic is there. The house is there. So they're going to come back so much stronger from this.
And so, she said a few times that Ballistic is the father that the child knows. Like, not trying to throw any shade to Stevie. But, and also, I don't know anything about their relationship. You know, Shane is going to have to give me all the tea. But I, as a woman, if I was married to him, I wouldn't do that. That was, I'm kind of side-eyeing his wife. Stevie J's wife.
Yeah.
Like, well, I just feel like as far as Stevie and Jocelyn's relationship, when this did happen, it was more so like Stevie gets offended if he feels like there's another person like raising his kid. We saw that, like, if you guys ever seen Love and Hip Hop, when Mimi got a new girlfriend and he was like, that's not my kid's other mom or whatever. Like, he gets really petty. Like, we've seen Stevie J get very petty, and I think this is just along the lines of him being petty again.
Yeah, and possessive too. That's what it is.
Right.
But nah, that's just wild, man. Like, Stevie J, I wonder if this is just a publicity stunt. Like, I wonder if he sees, like, his woman basically out living her best life, probably making a little bit more money than him as far as TV goes right now. So maybe he wants to hit her in any way that he can. Because at first, maybe he was the man. He was sitting at BBJ and she was the Puerto Rican princess, but he was always the bigger name. Now that Jocelyn is like making a big name for herself, maybe he don't like that.
Stevie needs to just be married to Faith Evans and be done with it. Like, he needs to just mind his business, raise his kids, and be with Faith. That's all he needs to do.
Yes.
And shared custody. I'm down for shared custody, but to just take the daughter from the mom, that's...
I think the other thing is it's probably hard to figure out a schedule that they both agree on, because if I'm not mistaken, Stevie and Faith live in LA and Jocelyn and Ballistic live in Atlanta.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think it's a little tricky, especially because their daughter is only 2 or 3 years old. So it's like, I'm not going to send my kid on a plane every month. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's two things I feel about it. Well, first off, it's temporary, so it does hurt. Right. But I think Styles broke it down like, this temporary, this is just right now. So I'm pretty sure that once everything plays out, they'll work something out together. But the good side, if there is a good side to this, at the very least, at least Stevie J is involved in the kid's life. He's not like a dad who neglects the kid and moves to the other side of the country or world or whatever. He's actually there. So I guess that's better than some fathers who could care less about the kid.
That's a positive spot.
If you want to look at the silver linings.
Yeah.
But speaking of more positivity, allow us, specifically Raven, to tell you how you can keep us going so that we can be positive and bring y'all these dope after shows.
I'm saying, hi, guys. We're not going to continue, no matter where we are, to not say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. Thank you for joining us under this platform today. So if you're watching, because we know you're at home, right? Watching at home. Give us those thumbs up. Right. Subscribe. Give us the stars. Go on iTunes and do the same. We really love what we do, hence us continuing to do it even under these circumstances. And we thank you guys so much for still joining us under these circumstances, and continue to watch, because we'll be right here if we have to with the rest of the episodes.
Well, show us how you chilling. If you got a quarantine bay, let us know all of this kind of stuff too. We just want to know about y'all. But moving on, let's talk about sex, because there was a lot of it. There was a lot to talk about. I just want to say one simple thing. Shani wants to be tied, and that was kind of wild to me.
Shani needs a lot. Shani is like, I need more, and I need more and more.
I love it.
I would
expect that CeeLo was more aggressive sexually.
No, I've been trying to tell y'all that they have a power struggle in their relationship. Shawnee be wanting to be the powerful one, and I think she has been the powerful one. So he's gotten real, like, comfortable in the fact that she likes to, like, lead in some cases. And she's just like, what happened to the guy that I met 8 years ago that was way more of a leader in this relationship?
See, that's the thing. People get complacent over time. Like, and that's the thing. So CeeLo, he was probably like, here's the thing. When you meet you a new dope woman and y'all about to get it in, you excited. You ready to put her in all these different positions and stuff, right? But after a while, that stuff gets tiring. It's like, you know what? You can lead this time. Then one time turns into three, then three times turn into every time, and then you get lazy.
And then turn into 8 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, here's the thing. Picture if CeeLo would have been giving her that work these whole 8 years. He wouldn't even look the same.
They probably wouldn't even be on the show.
You got it.
I do think they have a power struggle, but even the way it ended, to me, CeeLo wants power over her. And that's the way it, and she wants just power of herself.
Yeah. Oh, I like how you said that.
It's a different kind of thing. I don't think he's
a little manipulating, especially when she was like, I love you. And he was like, I'm not going to say that.
As long as she aligns with his thoughts and everything, she can kind of do what she wants as long as it ultimately comes up under him, under his authority.
I also felt like he just like wants them to think the same. And sometimes you need to like have a different perspective so you can like actually think things through instead of like both agreeing all the time. That's got to be annoying.
If he likes it, I agree. Like he's constantly rating what she's about to say or like grading it or something. Like, do I approve? Or you know what? I approve of this message. I feel so like he's really about to say, I'm CeeLo Green and I approve of this message. Because it's like everything she say gets filtered through him.
And he wasn't honest when that puppet thing is going to give me nightmares. But he wasn't honest. If he had said the things he said in the bedroom later in front of Dr. Ish, they could have gotten more help. Mm-hmm. But he made everybody think that conversation was okay, but he really didn't agree with what she was saying. He really
he was uncomfortable.
And they could have gotten more help.
I can't wait to go into that. Actually, maybe I can just, here's the thing. I was going to say it about somebody else, but CeeLo's one person who definitely don't want to look bad on this show. So I feel like he's really just trying to protect his image. So it all comes down to his image at the end of the day. So his ego and everything is just centered around his image.
I mean, he is the biggest artist on the show.
Yeah,
he arguably. But I mean, he is the number one guy on there. He has a huge, like, diverse following, I would say.
Yeah.
He's like people from like all ages, all ranges of life. So I'm sure he does feel like, I don't want to look crazy on this show.
Right. That makes
sense. It's also like you signed up to see if you're going to marry your fiance of 5 years. So just give it your all, bro. Like, you got to just lay it all out on the table at this point.
That part. Okay. Well, let's go to another couple, Stu and Michelle. It seems like they can't even agree when it comes to sex. Like, what's up, man?
The thing is,
like, when he wants it, she don't want it. They're literally just not meshing.
At all. Mm-hmm. My only thing for Michelle is just, like, I don't know if their communication is just, like, non-existent, but if what she was saying to Dr. Ish, where it's like, I need him to, like, romance me for me to be in the mood. Like, how does he not know that after a whole year of being with you?
Yeah.
Like, do you just say no and don't explain why? Or, like, what? Like, I was so confused.
I don't think, the thing is, I don't want to get too far into this because I want to save it for the last topic, but I'll just be quick with this. I don't think that Michelle wants to ever look wrong in any situation, and I'll just say that.
Oh, you think that's her?
Yeah. Yeah. You're not doing this or what I want or what I'm looking for. You got to forgive me because I've been dealing with this for 10 years, but it's never like, Stu, how could I be better for you? Here's the things. I get it. I'm not doing these things for you, or I'm not making you feel like you're doing the right things when sometimes you are. Like, it's always about what he's not doing, never what he is doing.
Yeah, I think also if Michelle hasn't gone to therapy, she needs to, just not anything like funny, but just like she keeps bringing up like what she's been through in the past. And that was like decades ago. And it's like, if Stu is the one paying for something that happened to you that long ago, then maybe you need to take a step back from relationships in general and like go through some therapy, figure out what's going on the inside, and then try dating again.
Yeah.
And maybe it wasn't that long ago. Maybe she
well, that's true. We only know about the far. Yeah. That's true. But regardless of when it was, like, it needs to be worked out before you jump into something else, because it's not Stu's fault.
Right.
She doesn't seem like the type that would jump into relationships, though. Like she said, she's been celibate for 2 years. So before Stu, she wasn't like messing with anybody. So I think that she's really dealing with her own inner issues right now and her own really insecurities.
By herself, she needs therapy.
By herself. Literally,
that's what this experience is for her. It's her dealing with herself. Like it takes on the form of Stu, but she's really dealing with herself.
Yeah, because even when they were talking individually, I think by the pool, and she was like, why did you tell them the truth? Why did you tell them that I cried?
She don't want to look bad.
It's like, girl, you're here to tell the truth. Like, if you're lying throughout the whole thing, it's not going to help either of you.
Yeah.
And I think that was pretty cool. And that showed something, one moment of intimacy in their relationship that you articulated it. I'm like, okay, so there was something there at some point.
And that's my other thing. It's like, maybe Stu is getting tired or annoyed or whatever, but like, you kind of knew what you were signing up for after knowing like she has been celibate for 2 years. Then you guys have, then you're intimate. She cries right after. Like, you knew what you were getting into. So you have to be a little bit more patient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to call this real quick. I think that I may be the only one that feels this way or notices this, but I think that Stu is slowly, I don't want to say breaking. It's either one of two things. Either he's slowly breaking down or he's slowly coming towards a breakthrough, because Stu right now on episode 7 is not exactly the same as the goofy, super goofy Stu that we saw coming in the house. He seems he's thinking about things a lot more now. He seems like he's in his head a lot more now. He seems like he's questioning everything, including the relationship, including himself now. It's like he's really, like, I don't know. I think Stu's actually getting somewhere. I don't know where he's getting, but I see something happening in his head.
Further and further apart from his relationship, if you ask me.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I heard, too, because he made the whole comment of, I don't even remember if it was this episode or last episode, about not being able to speak up or people don't understand him and the way he processes and...
Right.
Like, think about the household. Every time it's anybody against Stu, so X against Stu, Y against Stu, it's always Stu's fault. The house always is like, Stu, shut up. Stu, you need to change. From Dr. Ish, from Judge Kohler, to the person he came with, Michelle A, to the rest of the cast. Everybody's against Stu but me.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I think it's more so because Stu is like a class clown. Like, if you were to like analyze, like, if he was in a classroom with these 10 people, like, he's the one always making jokes at the worst times, like when it's the whole class is quiet, Stu want to make a joke. Like, it's not the time for that.
That's right. Part of his charm.
No, that's part of his annoyance.
Listen, because he's part of gangster. People telling he's not a gangster, so he got to find a way to shake stuff up.
You don't got to be a gangster.
But he got to shake stuff up. He got to find a way. Since he ain't got that, and she's been dealing with G's and everything, he got to find his own way.
Well, she obviously don't want a gangster, obviously.
True.
She was Sue.
And she even said she has to get used to a good boy or whatever, because that's what he is. He's just different, way different. I'll just say this. I want Stu to win so bad. I just want him to win at life. I want him to
You know, I'll just say one thing about Stu, which I didn't like from this episode, was when they asked if he cheated and he said, not yet.
I was just
like, Stu, that is where we're talking about. You don't say the right thing ever. Like, whenever you're talking about the girl that you've been with, your woman, you always say some stupid stuff.
But Stu is not smooth, though. That's like a part of who
he
is.
You don't have to be smooth. But that was rude.
Yes.
Was that
and then
rude,
he doesn't
Raven?
Know how to back down.
He what if Michelle A said it? Then they would have looked at Stu like, oh, you better get your act together before she leave. It would have been different.
I could see that.
That's true.
It's cool. Like I'm saying, Stu is just a punching bag because he's goofy, but he's not confrontational, and people think that they can just say whatever. And I'm starting to have a problem with it.
He does it all the time.
We're gonna have to agree to disagree on Sue.
All right, CeeLo. Yes. We're gonna agree to have different opinions. All right. So what they did was they took it to the next level, and then they pulled out the puppets, and then that's when it got real crazy because we got to see just how they view each other and how the evolution, or I guess the disevolution, I don't know how their relationship started and how it is now. So evolution. Was there any like puppet reenactments that really stood out to y'all, Raven?
Oh God, besides me having to keep pausing it, it was traumatizing. I did love the moment. Well, I love these two, Styles and Ajua. I did love that. They get some really insightful breakthroughs, and I think things that will that help everybody when they're watching their process. I think it helps the rest of the couple see how vulnerable they're willing to be. I think that's pretty cool. But the puppet things, I tried to block that out.
The puppets were very awkward.
Some of them look dope though. So the one that looked like Chose's really looked like Chose's.
Some of them did look very accurate. I will say that.
Styles P, his did not look like him at all. First off, his was
Bianca's didn't look like hers.
I don't know what he was.
But no, I thought the Styles P and Ajua one, it kind of was uncomfortable for me because I understood that it was like a breakthrough for them. But it was just like very weird seeing like the puppets laying on each other and then them laying their arms on each other. It was just like very weird. It was very weird for me. But I was so surprised that Jocelyn and Ballistic have like an interesting situation where he doesn't give head. Oh, and he has before, but like won't with Jocelyn.
Oh, that can mean a few things.
I'm telling you, of all the moments that she has gone off, this would be the one that would have had me all in my feelings. I would have taken that. Either you just have never done it, and that's I'm taking that. That's personal.
And they've been together for like 2 years. And everybody, I mean, I guess not everybody, but anybody who's ever followed Jocelyn's career on TV, it's like she gets it in. So I'm like... I was so shocked.
Yeah, that's actually a shock that she would deal with somebody for years that's not going to do
like,
that, which is crazy.
She really loves him because I feel like that would be something that would, I mean, we could obviously tell on this last episode she was annoyed by it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I'm sure he makes up for it other ways. So, like, I bet he really breaks her back. Like, I'm sure he breaks her back. I'm sure here's the thing. I know he's rough with her. I know he is because I bet she won't take it no other way. So I bet you, even though he's not going down, he's still making her feel like she got a full service, I guess.
No, I think I don't think it's sexual. I think her continuing to deal with him is the way he treats her. Because she said he's very conservative in the bedroom.
She did say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's that, or maybe maybe there's a barrier keeping his face from getting too close. So there could be a couple different things.
A barrier? What'd that mean?
You'll catch it. Yeah. You'll catch it. Not right now, but you'll catch it. Maybe there's a airborne barrier that's keeping him like, nah, I can't get too close.
No, they've been together too long for him to not say something about that.
But here's the thing. He can't do nothing about it. He can't change it. If that's what it is down there, that's what it is. I'm not saying that's the case, but I'm just saying
that's
if it
the
is.
That's the pH balance.
You say what?
I'm saying that you can change a pH balance.
You can. Okay. All right. Peaches, pears, kiwis, apples, watermelon. I get it.
Pineapples.
Okay. True.
There's plenty of water. Things. Right. Drink a lot of water.
I don't know, man. So, anyways, Bianca and Chosis, that's one area they don't really have a lot of issues, apparently.
Yeah, they do.
They got more issues than Vogue, okay? Yeah. The only issue they don't have is sex.
Exactly. That's what keeps them together. That's why they're in this fragmented relationship is because of the sex. If they was having no sex, they wouldn't be dealing with each other.
At
and
all.
It's crazy because I didn't mention this, but like they're both dealing with other people anyway. So apparently Bianca has somebody.
She said only 2 months.
Yeah.
And they never hooked up.
I'm not even mad at her about that, because that's like her womanly reaction. It's like, oh, you finna play me? Okay, let me go explore my options too and see what's there. It's not that she didn't want him, just didn't want to feel like 1,000% fool. So she'll be a partial fool, but not look fully foolish because she's gonna have somebody else just in case.
Yeah, that's childish.
It is. That's what their whole relationship is childish though.
Yeah.
Like, real talk, they definitely don't need to be on the show because they're not going to get like the same growth that everybody else is going to get because their mind isn't there yet. But the exposure helps.
They're not together right now, right? Or we don't.
They're not.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Well, Bianca had to take down the video that she put. I think it might have messed up something in her contract because one of her last posts was like, wonder what's gonna happen, and it's like, girl, you already told us y'all not together. Like, y'all not even pretending. He wasn't at the baby shower or anything.
They might have cut her bag in half. Who knows?
Who knows? No, we would have known about that. She probably would have went on live.
True. Well, one thing that we may not have known is that Ajua, she's actually withholding sex from her guy Styles, and she's using it as a weapon. So he said. That's something that I definitely see that happens a lot in today's society, because as women, y'all have like 99.9% of the power.
Well, he cheated.
You say what?
I think, cheated. I mean, he cheated. So it does get a little bit more emotional when you think, like, when it's like you're about to have sex with them and then you're like, somebody else been in this. Like,
And that's one thing that intrigues me about women is, like, I love how much thought goes into it for y'all. With us, real talk, it ain't too much thought. Either we're attracted and we want to do it or we don't. But y'all think about the past, the present, the potential future. Like, y'all think about everything.
I don't think it's all women, but, like, they're married. Like, it's a little different.
Yeah. So he cheated, like, when they were married.
Yeah, they've been married for like 20 years.
Yeah. I have nothing to say about that. I mean, I get it. I get it.
Yeah, like, I think that's a normal reaction.
Do you think that it works? Do you think it's a productive measure to take?
No.
Maybe not on the guy's behalf, but I think for a woman's thought process or just emotional getting through it, probably for her. I think it's probably progressive for her.
Yeah.
If you don't talk about it, it's not productive. If there's no conversation of, look, I just cannot sleep with you right now. Here's why. This is how I feel now. And until I can get over this, however, therapy, marriage boot camp, it can't happen. So without that talking, he's going to be resentful. And if you're going to stay with the person, that's not going to fix it. Now he's mad. Now he's again. Now he's like, it's not gonna fix it.
I think CeeLo even said that this was his opinion, but he said that he didn't really care for the exercise because he said just talking about sex means that something is wrong. Mm. Would you agree with that? Or are you on the other side?
CeeLo is full of crap. You don't know your woman want to be tied, and you've been with her for 8 years.
Right.
Something's wrong.
True. Honesty. And it's crazy because I'm actually on your side too, because like my thing is like, I'd rather us kind of know what we like before we even go into sex. So for instance, the fact that Shani wants to be tied up and stuff and he didn't know that all this time, my thing, if it was me, I would have known that like the first week, if not the first month, like, because I wouldn't know what you like.
Might not have always wanted that though. It could have been like a new thing. They've been together for 8 years. Like, you grow.
Maybe I'm just different because I want to just try a bunch of stuff. So my thing is, I would have been like, hey, you tied me up last night. I'll tie you up tonight and just see what she say.
Well, it's weird that he didn't know that because she's tied him up before.
Yeah.
So I was like, how did he not know that?
I think she felt safe saying it there. And whatever it is about their dynamic, it wasn't something she could communicate to him outside of that safety.
Yeah,
I feel like she has been limiting herself this whole time, and she's finally like breaking, or she came here to break out of those limits that were set.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I also thought it was weird that she pleases herself 3 times a week on average.
Yeah,
I was like, because you live with your fiance,
right?
That's kind of crazy.
I don't think he can handle her though, honestly. Like, mentally, yes, of course, but like when it comes to like holistically, like making sure she's good, taken care of, and feeling good, I think that she has a greater, I don't think he has the capacity for her overall.
I think he'd just be tired. I don't think he'd be.
And that's part of it.
I think he'd just be tired.
Yeah, he just like, ain't got it. I'm sure. And that's the thing. If he would have been just hitting it right for the full 8 years, he wouldn't be tired because he would be conditioned. Like I said, we wouldn't be able to recognize him. If he'd been getting it in for 8 years, we wouldn't even recognize him right now.
True. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I don't know. So, okay. So, I already talked about Michelle Leigh. I think she just, of course, don't want to look bad on TV. And that's going back to your point. Like, I can't believe you told the truth. Well, hasn't she been telling the truth about him the whole time? So now that he's telling the truth about her, oh, no, we can't go that far. As long as it's about you, we're good. But you can't flip it back on me now. This show ain't about that.
Has she been that vulnerable, though? Has she said something that's that kind of vulnerable? I'm not trying to take her side. I'm just wondering, of the things she said, has it been something that's so vulnerable?
Not necessarily.
I don't think they've gone as vulnerable as like people's sex lives, though. I think it was like the exercise itself was vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think Stu wanted to feel like the man. Not True. Saying anything wrong with it. I think he wanted to feel like the man. Like, yes, she cried.
I guess. Yeah, I mean, I think he's... Hold up. I think Stu is basically just like, over everything right now. Like, literally, like, I think he's, like, really just, like, checked out. Because every day, it seems like Michelle comes up with a new to-do list for him. Like, okay, in order for me to be happy today, you got to meet all 15 of these requirements, or I'm not going to be happy. You can do 12 of them, but if you don't do all 15, I won't be happy. And I won't even tell you about the 12 you did right. I'm talking about the 3 that you did wrong. So I feel like he feels trapped.
I'm not going to come for you, Byron, but I think that her needs are very simple needs. Like, she needs somebody who's going to romance her. She wants him to be more romantic. She wants him to be more, like, attentive to what she's talking about. Like, the things that she wants from Stu are normal relationship things. It's just that, as to why I think they need to break up, that's not who Stu is. So it's hard for him to do it because he's like, I mean, I'm doing everything I possibly can. And it's like, well, though you aren't, because she's asking for the same things repeatedly.
Mm. Right. I still think that Stu is taking all the arrows, though. Like, that's just really the point that I'm making, is that he's taking all the arrows. Not that he's not doing anything wrong, but I feel like he's an easy scapegoat for everybody. Like, it's so easy to just push everything onto Stu so that nobody else has to be the hot topic.
I mean, Michelle is not, like, innocent either. She needs to communicate better instead of just saying, like, no, you're not romancing me. Like, tell him how you want to be romanced, maybe. Right. So, like, she can definitely communicate better. But I don't think what she's asking for is, like, out of line.
It's not. He's just awkward.
They need to just not be together. Awkward. They need to find somebody else who fits who they are. Like, they're not compatible people.
No. I wonder what made them compatible in the beginning.
Well, they're far apart. They were on the phone, pillow talking, chit-chatting.
And he probably put on that smooth operator voice and everything.
Yeah. I just know they didn't live in the same, like, city.
Mm.
So, like, if it's long distance, it's easy to just have, like, that person to talk to at night. And, you know, he doesn't have to be there to hold you and all of that. So she fell in love with the fact that he's there for her to talk to emotionally, whatever. And I wasn't a part of their relationship. I'm just kind of saying this is how I think it might have happened. Because when they're together physically, they don't look like they like each other.
Yeah, they don't look like here's the thing, they really don't look like they're a real couple. So that's why I'm surprised that it was Bianca and Chose, is because even though they're technically not a couple and all this, at least they were truly a couple who was really into each other. I don't think Stu and Michelle were ever at that point where they were just madly, like, into each other.
I think they might have been, but it was only over the phone.
That's sad.
Like, like, I feel like, I don't know, I've seen enough movies where, like, somebody falls in love over the phone and then they meet them and then they, like, don't, they're not compatible. It's just like the person you're talking to on the phone is not the person that you meet.
So basically, right. This quarantine is like the best possible thing for their relationship right now.
I don't know. Who knows if they're together or not?
Oh, that's it.
This would be a perfect situation for their relationship because they have no choice but to have a mobile relationship. I think this is a perfect... Listen, Stu and Michelle, y'all can get it together right now during this quarantine. I think this is perfect for y'all. I'll just say that.
So how does this work, guys, from like what the other seasons that you've seen? When this is over, are there people who are like, okay, we're not going to stay together?
There's typically like maybe one couple who's like the firecracker couple that's volatile, and we know from the beginning they won't stay together. But for the most part, couples kind of at least worked through it for the last episode. But they always give us that one couple that's just like a wild card where you don't know what they're going to do. This time we got two. We got Bianca and Chosis, and we got Stu and Michelle. But everybody else is going to stay together.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So anything else about this episode that stood out to y'all?
Wow. I do want to give you guys the tea on Jocelyn and CBJ. They are going to court on May 21st to figure out their custody battle. I do believe they have been co-parenting, though, just between the two of them, just from seeing things on Instagram. Like, it does seem like Jocelyn has seen her daughter. But, I mean, people can just have, you know, videos and pictures in their phone and upload them however they see fit. It seems like Bonnie is with Stevie and her sisters from a picture he posted, but they will be in court May 21st.
Boom. And there was your news and gossip, guys. So now it's time for us to actually shout some of you out because we love y'all watching, and it's been a little while since we saw your faces. So Rakita Dobie commented, is it that Bianca loves him, or is she trying to prove to the other girl that he really wants her? That's why he's on the show with me, etc. What do you think, Shayna? I see.
I think you got a point. I think that she does love him, but I think her desire to be his number one is bigger. Like, I think that's more important to her. Like, yeah, girl, I got the guy in the end, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think that's her mentality.
Oh, true. Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And then Virginia Herrera said, I'm with the girls. Brush your teeth and tongue. So she is not for Michelle A wanting to kiss at 3 a.m. in the morning.
I know that's right.
Now, it is time, guys, for our special segment. We like to call it Counselor's Corner. It is a segment where we kind of just run down the line and talk about a moment, a saying, a phrase that came from either the judge, a counselor, or a fellow cast member that stood out to us and we feel is a quotable moment worth sharing. So I will let you go ahead and go first, Raven.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to take it back because I feel like this may have happened last episode. But Stu and Styles were talking, and he said something about love languages. And he said, I feel like I'm speaking French and she's speaking Spanish. And he said, well, you got to learn how to speak Spanish.
Ooh,
boy. Yes, that was good.
Yes, that was pretty dope. I think we try to love people the way we want to instead of giving them what they need. Yeah. And so that was pretty cool.
That was enlightening. What about you, Shayna?
I totally forgot to write down my statement, but I do have a moment when Styles was talking to Jocelyn and like comforting her when she found out she lost the custody of her kid. And then he was just basically like, I don't know, like they're just so consoling. Like, yeah, I was just like, I'm obsessed with Styles and Adjua, and everything they said in that moment was like, you can see put Jocelyn at ease, like she stopped crying and all of that. So I thought that was like a really great moment in the show. And I just wish that Styles and Adjua were like my aunt and uncle. So
yeah. Okay. That's actually one moment that stood out to me too. So that's one that I was going to say. And then the other one, it was more so a moment as well, but it was a moment of truth. It was during the game when, basically, Dr. Ish is like, y'all have to communicate. Like, there's certain things that you shouldn't just be figuring out. Like, you should talk and have these discussions and make it open. It shouldn't be uncomfortable. So just that in general, and that takes me back to what I said. Like, if it was me, I would have known kind of what she liked a lot sooner just because I would have communicated, because I don't want to just shoot in the dark. So that moment stood out to me. So people, leave a comment. Let us know what moments or what phrases stood out to you in our Counselor's Corner special segment. And now it is time to go into these predictions. So, Shayna, what do you think is going to happen?
I think that the lie detector tests are gonna get crazy. I think that we see more Stu blowing up and feeling like everyone's attacking him. I also think that we're gonna see a fired up Jocelyn with these questions that they're gonna have to go through. I think we've seen a more lighter side of Jocelyn, but I think we see the fiery side that we're used to seeing in these upcoming episodes.
Yeah. Go ahead, Raven.
Okay, look, it's hard for me to predict this. So I'm just gonna predict, since all of you all from Marriage Bootcamp are at home right now or at somebody's home quarantine, you should call in on the show. I predict
that's
you
a
all
good prediction.
Because you got time, right? You got time, Jocelyn. You got time. All of you all have time. So we're going to reach out to you. So I predict you will be on the show.
Hey, okay. I like that prediction. Man, my prediction is that stuff's going to, of course, keep getting crazier. I don't think Stu is going to blow up. I think Stu is going to become, he's not going to become any more sane. I just think that everybody else is going to get a little bit more crazy and more in their feelings, and it's going to level out to where he don't seem like the outlier anymore. I do think we're going to see Styles P out of his element at some point. I think stuff's going to hit the fan between CeeLo and Shani. I think the strong couples are all going to have at least one moment of friction. And then I think that Stu is going to end up just doing his own thing. Simple as that.
I love how you've become such a fan of Stu.
Yes. I kind of feel bad for him right now.
That's nice.
I can't explain why, but I feel like empathetic towards Stu right now.
I just want, I at this point, I want Stu to find a younger woman.
Okay.
I feel like Stu is one episode away from crying on this show. Now, real talk, as much as we make fun of Stu, it would hurt y'all's heart to see Stu just really start crying, because we haven't seen nothing like that from him.
It depends on what he's crying about.
Right.
Well, think about it. He ain't cried yet. And he's done been attacked. He's done been jumped. He's done had Dr. Ish come at him. This ain't a discussion. He done had the judge telling him to shut up. The cast telling him to shut up. People talking
because
about him. Because
he talks at the most wrong time.
Thank you.
Whatever, y'all. Whatever.
Explain
it's
yourself.
It's like your six-year-old brother that just keeps talking. You're like, I'm on the phone. Stop talking to me.
So treat him like your six-year-old brother and let him, you know what, Stu, I'm on your side, bro. I'm on your side. People, all right, so let us know what you predict is going to happen on the show. Please leave us comments. Please, again, rate us 5 stars. Give us thumbs up on iTunes, Spotify, all these type of things. We're on YouTube. We'll see you next week. But before then, make sure you're following us on all of our social platforms. It will be AfterBuzz TV on all social media, also AfterBuzzTV.com. My name is Byron K. You can find me everywhere online at Hero from the 90s. Shayna, what about you?
I'm your girl, Shayna Calandra. You can find me on all social media platforms at Shay Live.
And I am Raven French. That's Raven with an I, R-A-I-V-E-N. I always have to spell it. And Raven French on all social media.
Boom, let them know. And until next time, y'all stay blessed, stay beautiful, and stay buzzing.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.